Okay, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 4. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhakti, let me move back just a little bit. Okay. Bhakti Yogena Manasi. Samyak pranayate malay apasyat purusham purnam maya chitarapasrayam. Thus he fixed his mind, perfectly engaging it by linking it in devotional service, bhakti yoga, without any tinge of materialism. And thus he saw the absolute personality of Godhead, along with this external energy, which is under full control. Purport. Perfect vision of the absolute truth is possible only by the linking process of devotional service. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. One can perfectly realize the absolute truth, personality of Godhead, only by the process of devotional service. And one can enter into the kingdom of God by such perfect knowledge. Imperfect realization of the absolute by the partial approach of the impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma does not permit anyone to enter into the kingdom of God. Srila Vyasadeva, to become absorbed in transcendental meditation on the personality of God and his Srila Vyasadeva, to become absorbed, Sri Narada advised Srila Vyasadeva to become absorbed in transcendental meditation on the personality of Godhead and his activities. Srila Vyasadeva did not take notice of the effulgence of Brahman because that is not absolute vision. The absolute vision is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19, Vasudeva Savam Iti. In the Upanishads, is it also confirmed that Vasudeva, the personality of God, it is covered by the golden glowing Haranmayena Patrena veil of impersonal Brahman. And when that curtain is removed by the mercy of the Lord, the real face of the Absolute is seen. The Absolute is mentioned here as the Purusha or person. The Absolute Personality of God, it is mentioned in so many Vedic literatures. And in Bhagavad Gita, the Purusha is confirmed as the eternal and original person. The absolute personality of Godhead is the perfect person. The supreme person has many manifold energies out of which the internal, external, and marginal energies are specifically important. The energy mentioned here is the external energy, as be clear from the statement of her activities. The internal energy is there along with the absolute person, as the moonlight is there with the moon. The external energy is compared to darkness because it keeps the living entities in the darkness of ignorance. The word apashrayam suggests that this energy of the Lord is under full control. The internal potency or superior energy is also called Maya, but it is spiritual Maya or energy exhibited in the absolute realm. Trying to hear the purport. It's a little bit long. I usually don't read, but somehow I'm going to finish the purport. One more page. When one is under the shelter of this internal potency, the darkness of material ignorance is at once dissipated. And even those who are atmaram, or fixed in trance, take shelter of this maya, or internal energy. Devotional service, or bhakti yoga, is the function of the internal energy. Thus, there is no place for the inferior energy or material energy, just as there is no place for darkness in the effulgence of spiritual light. Such internal energy is even superior to the spiritual bliss attainable in the conception of impersonal Brahman. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the impersonal Brahman effulgence is also an emanation, the absolute personality of God as Sri Krishna. The Paramapurush cannot be anyone except Sri Krishna, as will be explained in later shlokas. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurunmulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Napitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Akitamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Rupa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Vanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasadevor Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Vrindavan. Today I have a little audience here in my class also. So I want to keep everybody up to date on the context. We went to Radha Kund today. What a opulence to live in Vrindavan and be able to go to these holy places. And I was explaining to the people that were coming to me, there's a real relationship in Vrindavan. There's something very internal here that one could actually experience. And when the six Goswamis were excavating Vrindavan on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, don't play around with that, okay? When I'm just trying to listen to the class, it's just the way they actually discovered Vrindavan is, you know, they went to places and they chanted and they had an experience. They had an experience of the place. There's actually a Lila Purush. There's a personality of a Lila. Yeah, a personality of Lila of the places. And there's actually a connection with that. And they, what we're discussing today, it's no coincidence that the place that was discovered by Lord Chaitanya, the one place of the, that he discovered was Radha Kund, because it was so deep and he experienced the energy there. I also tell the story when it's really amazing when they clean out Radha Kund. And it's like thousands of sadhus and everybody are pulling the water out with buckets and bucket brigades, and they're all down there. And then when they finally get the Kanchana Kund, it's like cemented, the original Kund. I was there, not the last time they did it, but the time before that, and I just remember taking bath and the electric, And that's what faith is. Faith is not just an intellectual experience. Faith is it's not just an intellectual understanding. It's an experience. It's a trust in something because you actually feel it. And that's why I like to take people to Vrindavan, because if you approach it in the right way, then it reciprocates and you actually feel it. You experience it. You experience an energy that is pushing everything towards God. And when you're moving in that direction, it becomes the most blissful place. That's why Prabhupada said 3 days or 3 years, because you really have to go in that direction to stay here. And if not, it's opposed to you. It's like when you're on a sailboat and you're going east. If the wind is at your back, the wind is the most pleasant thing in the world, if that's your direction. You're going the opposite way, that same wind becomes the greatest obstacle in your life. So if you move here towards ego, if you try to center yourself, you try to control, it becomes the hardest place in the world to live. And if you're actually moving in that direction, then it becomes the most pleasant place in the world to live. So, anyway, getting back to it's just been nice to be here in Vrindavan and to serve the pilgrims. And to the kirtan in the temple today was, I just can't believe how good it was. And it no longer, it's just all stars, you know. There's a kirtan revolution, and so many people are becoming so expert. But now let's get to the story and put it into the context. It goes all the way back to the sages of Naimisharanya. And they're seeing the influence of Kali Yuga. And seeing that influence of Kali Yuga, their tree Kali Gya, they can understand past, present, and future. They can see the cosmic season coming of opposition to spiritual life. They want to know what to do. There's an aphorism in Hito Pradesh, our decisions determine our fate. So life is about making good decisions. And that's the principle of mentorship. That there are people that have knowledge, there are people who are more experienced. They can help us make good decisions. And if we make good decisions, our future gets better. And you make decisions based on the circumstance. So the sages can see that the world will be surcharged to the opposition, is surcharged with opposition to your spiritual life. And what does that mean? That everything in the world would become progressively more and more with the intention to condition you to self-centeredness. And look at advertising. What is it telling you? You can become more famous. You can become more rich. You can become more wealthy. And you can get the accoutrements of power that help you to control the world centered on your own desires. So everything is in opposition. The sage is out of compassion. And I'll get to today's verse soon. The sage is out of compassion. They ask questions, basically, of what to do. And their last question was, now that Krishna has left the planet, where will knowledge, dharma, and jnana presently reside? And they're asking it to the Acharya Sutta. And he says it's in the Bhagavatam. I have some new audience here, so I want to bring the context and we'll get up to the point we're studying today. They say it's the Bhagavatam. Sutta says, I heard it and I realized it. I was there when It was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Prickett. I was there and I realized it. The sages of Naimisharanya become very enthusiastic to hear about it. And they heard something about it. And they really wanted to know more in detail about its history. So they asked about the three main persons that are involved with the history of the Bhagavatam. Vyas, the author, and his intriguing life, how he became inspired to write it. Sukadeva Goswami, his son, who he taught the knowledge of the Bhagavatam. And Maharaj Prickett, who at the time of death was enlightened by Sukadeva Goswami. So each of these persons have intriguing stories. So they begin. So Sukadeva Goswami begins with the first story, how Vyas became inspired. And we just finished that. And he became inspired to really. His job was to edit the Vedas, and his guru very, very strongly, his first attempt was not appreciated. His first attempt at editing the Vedas was to divide them into four. His second attempt was to illustrate in story form the Mahabharata. His third attempt was to codify it into Vedanta Sutra. And he wasn't satisfied, even though he did so much work, which is it's just a core principle, which is a very, very core principle, that when you're not doing what's right, there's a sense of dissatisfaction. And an intelligent person will try to find out the cause of that dissatisfaction. So he couldn't find out the cause because he just wrote all these wonderful books. Why should he be dissatisfied? So when that happens, you go deep into your heart. A sincere person goes deep into their heart with the question, what is wrong? What is wrong? What further do I have to do? That's the whole purpose of dissatisfaction and suffering. The dissatisfaction and suffering is not the problem. It's a symptom of the problem. It's a symptom that there's something wrong. So he went into his heart. But the problem when you go into your heart, unless you're already self-realized, it's very hard to distinguish between the mind and the super soul. So he's going in the heart with that sincere endeavor of going into the heart, wanting to know what to do, that sincere endeavor, that voice of endeavor, that voice of sincerity, that I want truth, I want to know what's right, may attract the external manifestation of the super soul, which can present things in a way where it's not obscured by your own mind. So that his guru came at that time, Narada. And that's called the transcendental system. So his guru came. And his guru told him what was wrong. He was thinking what was wrong. You haven't sufficiently glorified Krishna. And the problem with that is that in karma and gyan, which is meant to bring you to that point, the people in this age are not qualified to either perform karma or gyan. So you gave them a path that they never reach a positive conclusion. And this is such a key point in terms of bhakti. And I think it's good to give a little review now, because I said there's two people here I want to keep quickly, in 5 minutes, keep them up to pace on this. It's such a key point. And the point is, the only way we will overcome false ego, we're not going to overcome it by analysis, and we're not going to overcome it by elaborate rituals. The only way we'll overcome false ego is to become attracted to the real ego. And the real ego is to serve and love God. So the only chance we have in this age of actually overcoming false ego is to become attracted to God, to be attracted to by love, by pure love, by love for God. And the only way that that's going to happen is by hearing about God and hearing about his pastimes and hearing about his activities. And that's the only chance to actually overcome ego. I'm stopping because I'm thinking in my mind something I read that was so interesting. And I'm trying to... I was reading the wives of the... When Krishna left Hastinapur, he leaves Hastinapur, and at the point, the wives of Hastinapur, the ladies of Hastinapur, they get on the roof to see Krishna leaving, and they're crying hysterically, and they're wiping their eyes, their tears, because it's very inauspicious when someone's leaving, someone crying. Just to keep people up on this particular time, and then I'll get back to the story. I applied that in my life once. Either cry or have argument or thing before leaving. And it's a long story, but I visited Dallas. And I did something that annoyed Tamal Krishnamaraj. And I expressed that he was too heavy with his servant, and he didn't like that I did that. And because I was the one that got him his secretary, I was the one that recommended his secretary. I was in here with Vrindavan. He says, I can't find anybody competent. I said, I have just the person. But when I visited, the person was kind of, it was too heavy for him. So I just said, I told him, and he was so upset with me. And then before I left, he came to see me off because he's such a gracious host. And he said, you know, you really shouldn't have said that. So I thought in my mind, okay, let's go for it. So I started to argue with him. And he just got heavier and heavier. And I just was arguing with him. And, you know, and it was like really like, whew. So then I just thought, I remember that purport. I remember that purport of the wives, that it's inauspicious. So I went I was going to the bathroom, and when I came out with all smiles, like nothing was there. And then when I got to the next place, I was reading an email from the assistant, Kamal Krishnamaraj dictating, humbly saying that I was right. And that anyway, the story goes on and on, but that's the purport. But the point I wanted to make in that purport is these women had never met Krishna. They had never met Krishna. So how did they become so attracted to the point of deep separation? They became attracted by hearing about Krishna. So this is really ultimately what Krishna consciousness means. Ultimately, Krishna consciousness means we have to hear about Krishna. And we hear about Krishna, we actually become attracted to Krishna. And if we become attracted to Krishna, we become attracted to serving Krishna. And if we become attracted to serving Krishna, then we have the inspiration to move out of the center, move out of the egoistic conception. It will only happen when we get love in our hearts. Because we get love in our hearts, we'll develop a different faith. Our faith is to be in the center. Our faith is to have power. Our faith is to have beauty. Our faith is to have wealth. And our faith is to have so many things to control the world, to conform to our desires. We'll only step out of that conception if we develop love. And then when you develop love, you get a different faith. You get a faith in love. And then when you get a faith in love, not only do you step out of the center, you don't want to go back there. For example, now the people that are here have to be just as attentive to the people on the phones because they can't see me because the lights went out. So, a little distracted when the lights went out, but that faith, you develop a different faith. And therefore, what happens is when someone glorifies you, which puts you in the center, you stick your hands in your ears. You deny it. You say something the opposite because you have a different faith. You understand that real pleasure is love and devotion, not control and enjoyment. So anyway, Narada instructs Vyasadeva and gives him the philosophy that really what the essence of the Vedas is to get rid of false ego. And the best way to do this is to present directly how beautiful Krishna is. And then he illustrates the point in his own life. And that's what we've been reading for the last few months. He tells his whole story, how he became completely transformed, even though he had very little qualification, because he was the son of a maidservant, didn't even know who his father was. And by the Bhaktivedantas, the great devotees, coming to the inn where his mother was a maidservant and doing some service for them, humbly, they bestowed upon him the greatest mercy of giving him the knowledge of the Bhagavata. And then we had followed his whole story of how he achieved absolute perfection, how he got a spiritual body, and he achieved perfection. The complete spiritual body. So now that that story has been told, the sages of Namasharanya now ask the question, okay, now what happened to Vyasadeva after he heard this story? After Narada instructed him, then what happened? And now they're telling what happened. He heard the instruction. It touched his heart. And he took it to heart. And now what he wanted to do is deeply realize the absolute truth so that he could write about it. So that he can write about the absolute truth. And now that's what's being described in this verse. And it's such a powerful verse. So how did he do it? How did he realize the absolute truth? It says, Bhakti Yogena Manasi, by the process of linking up the devotional service, he fixed his mind. He fixed his mind. And hadn't he fixed his mind? Samyak, completely. Amale, without any distraction. So this is actually what practice means. Practice means concentration. There's five states of the mind. There's confused, bewildered, distracted, concentrated, and restrained. There's five states of the mind. Yoga is only the first two. You're not practicing bhakti yoga if you're distracted. Bhakti yoga is when you're concentrated and restrained. Any yoga. And to get the fruit of any yoga, you have to be concentrated. You have to be focused. Just like when we went to Radha Kund today, we went for 2 hours respecting the you know, what it is and who we are. So we went into 2 hours concentrated, uninterrupted. We didn't let the voice of the false ego activate. The voice of the false ego is frivolity, you know, so many things. We know what it is. We didn't let it activate. And how did we not let it activate? We engage completely in devotional activities. So bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranyate malay. We engage the linking process of devotional service without any distraction. And the result was that people got realization. That's how it works. A pashyat. Pashyat means then they saw. When we saw Radha Kund. You can't see just with the eyes. That's why 10 people look at the same thing. They have different opinions about it. You also see with the mind. You also see with the intelligence. And ultimately, beyond that, with your ahankara, with your conceptions, your attitudes, your identities. So unless that's purified, you just can't see. The eyes are vehicles. There's sense organs. But it has to go much more than the sense organs to see. So you have to purify that. Cheto dharpana marginam. So we go and we chant for an hour. Because without purifying the mind, we don't see anything. And what to speak of purifying the mind, purifying the identity. That's why devotional activities are done under guru. When we actually chant the holy name, we have to connect with guru. Anything we have to do, we have to connect with guru. Because if we don't connect with guru, we don't change our identity. Our identity is we're servants of Krishna. And we execute devotional service from a change in identity. That's why when you do deity worship, there's Bhuta Shuddhi. You have to purify the nature. And how do you purify the nature? You have to, even when you're doing deity worship, you first have to change your attitude. So you pray, Naham Vi Prachanara Patir Vaishno Nasudra. Naham, I am not this, I am not this, I am not this, I am not this, I am not this. What am I? Gopi Bharta Parakamala Dasa Dasa Anadasa. You have to change your identity. And when you change your identity, then you have a chance of changing your mind. So, Vyasadeva, imbibing those instructions, understanding that what he sensed within his heart was confirmed externally by his guru. And now he was confronted with the truth. Now, what are you going to do with it? It's so heavy, the truth. I was just speaking to, there's many tours that came, one of the tour leaders. There's so many devotees that are here. Hari Kirtan, Virbhadraram, Raghunath came today. So one of the tours, someone left early. And mostly it's 99%. And what was the conclusion is the person was interested in Krishna consciousness. They came. And when the truth of it came, what it meant for their life, it was hard to take. It's hard to take the truth because what the truth does And what they often say, Bori Jumper used to say, Vrindavan puts up a mirror to your false ego. You get to see it. You can't hide it. So what the truth does, and why the truth is so heavy, what the truth does, it looks at you and it makes judgment. So when that happens, when it's too heavy, when the judgment says, you know, this is so artificial, this is too attached, this is improper, and those attachments are rooted, it's very hard to accept the truth. So what you have to do is you have to deny the truth. You have to find fault in the truth. You have to find fault in people who represent the truth. You have to find fault in the places where the truth is embodied. But he was so sincere. He heard the truth. You're wrong. Oh, my God. If someone says that, Baladev, you're wrong. If you say, you're wrong, you made a mistake. That's so antithetical to the whole identity, because our identity in the world is that, one of the senses of the ego is that I'm right. I'm wrong. You're not perfect. You're not great. That's why one of the national pastimes of India is argument. People argue. They just can't stand the conception of you're not God because you're wrong. It's so difficult. Therefore, one of the principles of Vaishnavism, they don't engage in argument. Not on the basis of false ego. But he heard. He was sincere. So what did he do? He said, I have to realize this truth. And what did he do? Bhakti Yogena Manasi. He engaged his mind. Probably he was chanting with concentration. And what happens? Realization. I know in Kartik, when I'm just staying out in Govardhan and doing Niyama Seva, the same activities every day, and then increasing my chanting, you get realizations. You get realizations how to enter into the holy name. You get realizations on the nature of the holy name. You get realizations of your present consciousness and relationship to the truth. And what did he see? He saw apashyat purusham purnam. What was the absolute truth? Purusham purnam. It's a person. It's a person. I just love what Prabhupada said. God doesn't have the defect of impersonality. It's a defect. Not to have feelings is a defect. Not, Prabhupada also said something that I love, three words. Krishna is responsive. That's what a person is. Person engages in relationship. A relationship means reciprocation. Krishna is responsive. I also love the statement by this Christian apologist when he asked, is God a person? He was an elderly man and very saintly, and he said, God is not less than a person. And in fact, and this is a fact, that there are six darshans, Indian philosophies, and of those six, all except maybe one school of one division of one school accept the eternal individuality of the soul. Just studying the Yoga Sutras, what does it say? It says Vishesha Purusha. Purusha means person, soul. And then it says there's a Vishesha Purusha. And what is a Vishesha Purusha? It's God. And they give six verses describe the Vishesha Purusha in exactly the same description that's given in the Bhagavad Gita for Krishna. So it's a person. It's a person. And Maya The material energy is under God's control. Mayavadi philosophy means that the relationship between God and matter is that God is matter. That's not what Vyasadeva saw. He saw the energy under his control. So these verses coming up are very, very significant in the Bhagavatam, because they're the conclusion of Narada's, because the question was, how did Vyas became inspired? He became inspired by his guru and his sincerity. Those are the two key factors in spiritual life. Your sincerity and the reciprocation with that sincerity by guru or teacher, fulfilling our desire to actually know truth and live by truth. And there's one purport, I forgot what Prabhupada says, and the real spirit, no matter what that means to my life. So we'll just read the next verse. And this is so important. Due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to the three modes of nature, thinks of himself as a material product and thus undergoes the reactions of the material miseries. So it describes what is the cause of suffering. The living entity has the wrong sambandha or relationship with matter. This metaphysical knowledge means to understand, Prabhupada says very clearly, to understand matter, spirit, and the controller of both. So how do you understand the relationship between spirit and matter? You understand that spirit is not matter, that matter is not my identity. All suffering is caused by illusion. When we accept the body as the self, we suffer. All suffering is ultimately mental. It's very interesting. It's like if cars outside and I get a new car and like there's a crash and we say, he hit me. You know, there's a, because there's an identification with something, then we suffer. So matter is undergoing vikara or transformation. The soul is not transforming. But identifying with matter, it suffers the transformations of matter, which is birth, growth, maintenance, reproduction, dwindles, dies. A self-realized person is not bewildered by the changes. Prabhupada, when he was leaving the world, that was in his room. When he came back to leave, there's only about 10 people. He came into Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada said, I'm going to leave the world. And what did he say? Deheno smin yata dehe komaran yovanam jara tata dehantara prabhir dhirastatami. Prabhupada said, as the embodied soul passes from childhood to boyhood to youth to old age, similarly at the time of death, he goes to another body. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. And I saw it with Prabhupada. He was not influenced by the change of the body at death, because there wasn't the identification with it. One sadhu in Vrindavan, a good friend of mine, a very deep scholar, told me that the real pain of death is not the physical pain, it's the attachments. Because what death means is everything that's dear to us, we lose. We lose the most dear thing to us at the time, which is the body, which we think is the self. Self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. So he thinks himself a material product and therefore undergoes the reactions. Okay, so anyway, we gave a little something today. I wish I could give more. Anybody else like to say hello?
One second.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Who is that? Hi, Krishna Gail. Thank you.
Yeah, I enjoyed the class. Thank you.
Gail, every time I think I'm just all over the place, that's the class you enjoy. I never can understand it. But anyway, thank you.
Okay.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Wow. So nice to hear both of you. Thank you.
Wonderful class. Thank you, Maharaj.
Lachanji, great working with you.
Thank you very much. Interesting.
Well, yeah, it is. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. My first night I enter his book. Anyway.
But thank you so much.
You.
I'm really so happy to be involved.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Malati.
Malati, you know, Sarah was just in my class today.
I'm sorry, who was
sitting
there?
Sarah. You know Sarah?
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, today she came to Radhakund with us.
Oh, wow.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
This is Ladini Radha, Devi Desi. Or Hillary.
Ladini? I know who Ladini Radha is. You know who's going to stay in today?
No.
Can I tell you, it's so mind-blowing. At this moment, you know who walks in the door? Can you just say hello? Hello. Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
He gave my grand choice, right? He's going to stay with me today.
Okay.
Oh,
great.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you for calling,
guys. What? He's very popular.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you for listening.
Anybody else like to come in?
That's right.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Chaitanya Priya.
Chaitanya Priya, hi, bro. Anybody else?
Hi, bro.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Brajaradeh Devi Dasi.
Hare Rao. One more person? Okay, we'll end for now. Vanshakopa Kuribya Shakapas into the image of Patikam.